Take your Bibles, if you will, and once again turn to the book of Matthew. If you would, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. If you would, stand if you're able. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if, you know, those are very important words right there. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Yet it's henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. We are not to hide the light. It says, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to be the salt and the light that you would have us be. Bless this service. May it be good when we leave to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Henry H. Haley writes in his book, Haley's Bible Handbook, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, where we are described as salt and light to the world, that is preserver and guide. May I say this to you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a job to do. Jesus himself is the light of the world. His followers reflect his light and glory. The grandest motive that a person can have is that by his or her manner of life, others may be constrained to glorify God. That they may, by your good works, glorify the Heavenly Father. You know, when we come to church here, it's about him. It's not about us. And I'm glad that we can say that our desire is to praise our Lord and praise our Savior. As we continue in the book of Matthew chapter 5, now at verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Number one, Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he is the only one that ever kept the law in total. You are unable to keep the law, and I'm not picking on you. Because when I say you, I also mean me. The law was not only the Ten Commandments, but also hundreds of precepts and principles found in the Pentateuch. But if you would, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and we'll begin reading at verse 1, where we find the Ten Commandments. Those commandments that seem to cause such distress to those that are atheists. To those who don't want to believe in the Word of God. They don't want them in our schools. And they don't want them in our courthouses. They don't want them anywhere. And they don't really even want them in the church. They're bothered by them. Verse 1. And God spake all these words. Now therein is the most important part of this right from the beginning. God spake. When he speaks, what are we to do? We're to listen. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the God, the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let me ask you this. You may not bow down before some wooden idol, or some rock idol, or some golden idol, or some silver idol. You may not pray to the sun, or to the moon, or to a river, but can you have idols in your life? Can you have other gods in your life? We find in America there are hundreds of gods that are taking place of the God with a capital G. Continuing. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. We need to be careful that we don't have things in our homes that are more important than the Lord. We need to make sure that our houses do not become more important than the Lord. We need to make sure that our cars and our jobs and our money do not become more important than our Lord. He is to be the God, and we are to serve him faithfully. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Notice verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Is the Lord telling us right there that he is the Creator God? That we are not here by chance, that there was not some explosion billions of years ago. And that as things began to settle down, planet Earth landed right here at the perfect spot from the sun. And that somehow water was on this rock. And somehow there was some charge from a lightning or something, and it hit that water, and it created life. So life came from dead things. And so we are told this. And you know, the sad thing is that we have generations now who have been told this lie over and over and over again to the point that they believe it. Though evolution is a very, very, very poor theory. For they have no proof whatsoever. Now, it takes faith to believe in a Creator God. But it takes faith to believe in evolution. So which one are you going to put your faith in? That we are here by chance? Or there we are here for a reason? So let's continue reading verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Four commandments are man to God. Six of them are man to men. But they're hard to obey, aren't they? I've said this on many occasions. If you can be obedient to number one and number 10, you'll be obedient to the other eight. How many of us are obedient to number one and number 10? Well, the fact of the matter is none of us. We break them regularly. That's why we need a Savior. Because sin divides us from our Creator, God. Back, if you would, to the book of Matthew, where we were in chapter 5 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. That except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were the super pious religious leaders of their day. They maintained that observing all 613 rabbinical traditions, which were embellishments of the simple law of God, it would make a person righteous. Jesus said that one's righteousness would have to be more than theirs to enter the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus, no doubt, was alluding to is the fact that apart from being declared righteous in Christ or justified, no one can go to heaven. In other words, what the Lord is saying and what the Bible tells us is that you can't work your way to heaven. You can't be good enough. Now, what if I told you that it has been decided by the new governor of the state of Michigan that the only way you can graduate from high school is to get all A's. And until you get all A's, you can't graduate. How many of you would still be in high school? Aren't you glad that you don't have to get all A's? Now, some of you, and we're not going to name names or look at you, but some of you would have passed the first go-through, and other of us would be on our 27th go-through, trying to get through. But God has one way into heaven. And that one way is through Jesus Christ. Man tries multiple ways. And the sad thing is there are some very serious people who are serving what they think is God around our world. They are trying multiple ways to get into heaven. But Jesus is the way. He is the only way. Now, what is the problem in today's society is our young people don't see church as relevant anymore. They don't see it as important. I would dare say, Johnny, where you go to school there at Oakland University, there are a lot of students there that have no desire to be in church today. They don't even care what church is. And the question is, how are we going to get them to come to church? I'm reading an article where it says we need to change. Well, the fact of the matter is, Jesus only gave one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. But what are we supposed to be doing? Ye are the what and the what? The salt and the light. So it's up to us, isn't it? To show them by our good works that there is a reason to go to church. There is a reason to serve Him. That church is not just an entertainment center. That church is not a place where you get stuff because you're poor. No, that church is a place that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That there is a hell, but there is a way of salvation. That Jesus Christ is the way. And we are to be the guides that direct them. And that is our responsibility to do so. Only Christ's righteousness will be accepted by God the Father. The book of Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 declares that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now compared to each other, they're pretty good. But when they compare our righteousness with God's righteousness, they're as filthy rags. The Pharisees and scribes thought by their meticulous observing of all the ins and outs and all the thoughts of the 613 rabbinical traditions, that they were therefore righteous. Well, the Lord saw through their facade. He realized, no, you are still sinners. Quickly, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. We're going to be looking at three different portions of Scripture from the Gospels. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, a well-known story. And when he was gone forth into the way, There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Now, Jesus Christ is God. What he wanted was for the young man to say, "You're God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." Did Jesus name all 10 of the commandments? Did he name the 10th commandment? He did not. He did not name the first commandment, but he named those ones that this young man had worked hard at doing right. Verse 20, "And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Aren't you glad that he loves us before we're saved? "And said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And that being the rich young ruler was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What shall it prosper a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Yes, it's nice to live in 2019 America. We have so much, but they should never become more important than the Lord. If you would, the book of Luke, chapter 18. The book of Luke, chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. To the rich young ruler who had much, he said, "One thing thou lackest." He thought he had everything, but he didn't have what was truly important. Here we find the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, and verse 9 says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." It's one thing to build ourselves up before God. It's another thing for God to say, "Well done. Be merciful to me, a sinner." And back a few pages to the book of Luke, chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. He went out from his father's house with much. Some say half of the inheritance. He went out with much and spent it all, to the point that he had no one to help him. And if you know the story, he ended up feeding pigs. Now, a Jew feeding pigs, that doesn't go very well, does it? In fact, he had to make sure he got the food first, or the pigs would take it all. But notice verse 17. "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.'" The self-righteous are only fooling themselves. The religious are only fooling themselves. Good works will not get one into heaven. Church attendance will not get you into heaven. Even Bible reading will not get you into heaven. Giving great amounts of money to charities and churches and the needy will not get us into heaven. You can be baptized every Sunday your whole life. It will not get you into heaven. What will get you into heaven is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. We have to be more righteous than the Pharisees and the scribes by accepting Christ as our hope. Is he your hope? And if he is your hope, and if you accepted him, are you sharing that hope with others? Shall we stand together? In a moment, we'll sing from our Psalm books 375, Just As I Am. Have you come to the Lord? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? As we have our invitation time, we invite you to come and get things right with the Lord spiritually. If you've never been baptized, we'd love to be able to take you into the baptismal pool and baptize you in obedience to our Lord. If you'd like to come and join our church, you've been saved and baptized, we'd love to have you do that also as we have the invitation time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time that we gather together to hear your word. And now, Lord, as we give opportunity for people to come, we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts and convict us. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.